I thought you hated the Sounders.
I do, but we're in the MLS freaking cup.
Wow.
Alex, you watch soccer, don't you?
I like watch what?
You watch soccer, don't you?
Nah.
It's a big game. Sounders tomorrow.
I don't care. Yeah. My hair is, this is me now, you know?
You look like you comb that thing with a pork chop. What the hell's going on?
All right, WSD Podcast, happy hour with Locked On AZ, Cards, the duo, Bo and Alex. Your Cards are not too friendly these days, huh?
Not looking good. Not looking good. Who thought at this point in the season we were going to be fearing the New York Giants?
So, Bo, last week, Ben's like, Seattle, we play the Giants auto win. We don't even have to talk about this game. So this week I'm like, hey, buddy, what happened to your auto win?
Where did this defense come from? And like, not only was it not, it wasn't Danny Dimes like finally putting it together. It was this G-men's defense. Logan Ryan, who was there for the picking. Alex, we talked about Logan Ryan before the season started. Like, should the Cardinals pick him up? And he's like, yeah, the clock back. He's a solid cornerback once again.
Are you guys scared of the Giants? Who wins?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I think this is just a game they have to win. If they don't, it's very telling of where they are, that they're just they're still just making incremental strides from where they were in 2018, where we thought, you know, 5 weeks ago they were ahead of schedule. 4 weeks ago when they had the Hail Mary, where it was a miracle. But I think we kind of had fool's gold at that point. And they still have a long way to go. And, you know, to take as many steps back to where you're fearing the Giants, I don't care if they've won, you know, five or six, you know, they won four in a row, but man, you shouldn't be scared of this team, no matter who they beat. The Seattle, that's the one thing. It's like, they can beat anybody. They've proven that. I just don't, you have to be better than the Giants, despite their recent success. It has to get done. You have to find a way. If it's Kyler Murray, if it's Cliff Kingsbury, if it's this defense making plays, they just got to do it. You got to be better than the Giants. That's it. And if the Arizona Cardinals can accomplish that, it could save their season.
What's the difference of the team that pre-Hail Murray or even after that game in the last three games?
Kyler Murray's not running the ball. He when he got hurt, he had the AC joint injury, and like
is that because he's injured, or is that because of the scheme of Belichick and Sean McVay?
It's probably a hodgepodge of all of it, but Kyler Murray's injury is the best thing ever for Cliff Kingsbury, because there's at least a little mini scapegoat that's not. Did you see the image of DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams? Help me. Who's the fourth one?
Julio
Jones. Did you see the route trees from those guys, the image that went viral on Twitter? So Devontae Adams had 10 catches for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns, something like that. Tyreek Hill had a big game. Julio Jones had 6 for 94 and no touchdowns. But if you're looking at the field, DeAndre Hopkins' routes were on one side, on the left side of the field, and 10 yards and in and outside of the tackle box. That was his box where all of his routes were run when they need him more than ever to be an impact guy. And it's Cliff Kingsbury calling these plays. I don't know if he's just overutilizing him as a gimmick, and that was the most off-putting thing for me. So I think that's what it is. I think it's play calling more than Kyler Murray's injury. I think Bo would agree with me with that. I mean, it's not all Cliff Kingsbury's fault. I mean, Kyler Murray still has to execute the plays that are called, but it's not helping.
Are they overthinking it? Is it like to the point where it's almost like we don't want to get Kyler out of the pocket and fear that he's going to get hurt even further potentially? Or is it?
They can't control Kyler. And I mean, he's the one out there making the plays or not making the plays. But I got to imagine when they're sitting there breaking down film or game planning that there's with him where he is physically right now, you know, as much as you want them to show up and give it 110%, to use the cliche, you also have to take in consideration he's just not a traditional size quarterback. And if he gets squared up and he's going to be done and he's going to miss, you know, the rest of the season or maybe even something that lingers into next season, that's the nightmare right there. I mean, as bad as the start that they had in kind of squandering that would be, losing Kyler Murray for an extended period of time is the ultimate nightmare scenario for the Arizona Cardinals. So I get it. I just think he's just throwing a bunch of these different variables, and it's a perfect storm for the Arizona Cardinals to where they're just on the struggle bus, and it's going to take something going right for them to maybe go up. We were talking to Josh Weinfuss of ESPN.com earlier this week, and it's like they can't fix all of this. There's no, like, magic elixir. There's no magic wand that's going to right all this, but making positive plays – are going to start to get things, the ball rolling in the right direction. Just right now, it's not. It's just they are they're just on a one-way track, the wrong direction. They need to figure out. But the Giants could be, like, I know that recent history says they're a hot team, but they also are a dumpster fire of an organization recently. And it is an opportunity.
They also have Colt McCoy behind center too.
Even if it's the alternative, if it's Danny Dimes, I mean, he's just been turning the ball over ever since he entered the league. It's not going to be the quarterback that beats the Cardinals on the opposing team this weekend.
Two things here. Danny Dimes is Josh Allen without an arm.
That's a good call.
That's the first thing. And then you hope that the Giants are a slump buster, which we thought they would be coming into this week, but they just beat the Seahawks.
You know, Seahawks aren't very good. I mean, it's different between them and the Cardinals. You know, the Seahawks are just an inferior team. The issue that – and Bo and I have gone back and forth with this on the podcast all week. Like, I can't help but go back and say – well, the two things. One, going into the Thursday night game against Seattle, the Cardinals were on a roll and Seattle was slumping. I think they lost.
You were on with us.
You came on. You're our guest.
Yeah, and it's and one things I said to you was this is the perfect time where Seattle wins and it just recorrects the NFL because that's what happens. So this is the Cardinals' turn to just correct the tilt of the NFL, have the Giants lose, the Cardinals win, go to 7-6. That's what's supposed to happen. But nothing happens the way it's supposed to with the Arizona Cardinals. The issue, and we've talked about this with Bo and me, is I can't help but continue to think that offense, defense for both teams. The New York Giants defense is the strongest of the four right now, is the hottest of the four. And if you have a defense that's hot and an offense that's anemic going across country playing in the early time slot, it could be a recipe for, oh no, what did Steve Keim do by hiring Cliff Kingsbury if the Cardinals lose, as Bo mentioned. I mean, it'll jettison the season. But with that defense being so hot, the interior of the offensive line for the Cardinals has been awful recently.
Well, here's the thing is the Giants still have something to play for. That's how shitty the NFC East is. Let's be honest.
Leading the division right
like
now?
If I'm waking up, I'm like, shit, we have still have a chance to get the playoffs. Like if the Cowboys played up to their expectations, this would be a moot point. It would probably be a little bit easier game. You'd have the Giants playing for a draft pick, but that's not the case.
Yeah, I have a tough time. Let's not forget, like, who the Giants were. I mean, all the things that you were probably saying about the Giants-Seahawks matchup, I mean, there's probably a lot of truth to that, and the Seahawks just had a crappy game. Like, Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, they were shut down, and Leonard Williams went off, and he ate for one Sunday, but that's not who the Giants are. I mean, before the Seahawks, their wins were against Washington football, and look, I know they beat Pittsburgh, but they're not world beaters yet by any stretch. You know, they had wins over crappy teams. So I'm not fully convinced, like, hey, this Giants team's turned the corner. Do they strike fear in me as somebody who covers the Cardinals and wants to see this team succeed? Yeah, but I'm not – I think we could be having a conversation on Locked On Cardinals come Monday morning. Is like, all right, back on track. Giants are who we thought they were, you know, for the first 10 weeks of the season.
Yeah, we've talked about the dumpster fire a little too long in the Giants. I think they've got the most money so far. Let's go to the Niners. Let's go to the Rams. Let's go to the other teams.
The Rams, man. I mean, that whooping they put on the Patriots the other night, I think that the Rams have finally – they earn the discussion as one of the top teams in the NFC.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that I tweeted out last night, they're coming out of the NFC. Like, and the reason why I said that is the Saints – either being star-crossed or just can't close. They've had the worst three-year stretch of any playoff team that was supposed to win anything. Minneapolis Miracle, the push, the pass interference that didn't happen, and then the Kyle Rudolph push-off last year that was the New Orleans Saints rule that didn't get called for them, and then Minnesota beats them. And then the Green Bay, I just don't trust Aaron Rodgers. I mean,
yeah. You know what's crazy about the Saints,
what happened last year with Aaron Rodgers when he went to Levi Stadium.
You know what's crazy about the Saints? They're 8-0 without Drew Brees under center in the last 2 years. 8-0, and they're going to be 9-0. They'll probably win this weekend. They've got a crappy matchup. Who is it?
They play the Eagles.
Yeah, they play the Eagles.
Jalen Hurts debut.
Carson Wentz is playing Taysom Hill on the practice squad right now. That's a true story.
That might bode well for Philly for the first time in the entire season.
No, Ben and I were making fun of the Rams like all offseason. We're like, they're going to be the last in the NFC West. They got no chance. And then the season started, and we started to watch that defense. And Goff, he's just, as long as he hands the ball off, doesn't turn it over, makes a couple plays here or there, I'm with you. I think they might come out and go to the Super Bowl.
You guys remember 2012, the Ravens, right?
Yeah.
Trent Dilfer. That defense was ridiculous.
You're thinking Flacco. You got to go way back.
Exactly. So Jared Goff is a modern day Flacco right now. Yeah. Like, that's all he's got to do, right? He's just got to give the ball to the wideouts. He's not doing anything extraordinary out on the field, but yet he's not losing the game for him.
Right. I mean, he's a flashy game manager. Like, he can throw for 400 yards if need be in a perfect situation. Like, if
he's a $30+ million game manager. Think about that. Right?
He's like top five in the NFL in terms of salary, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather have him or Carson Wentz right now. I mean, his contract looks incredible compared to Carson Wentz hasn't even kicked in yet.
Yeah.
Like, crazy. I thought that 2 years ago that was they ripped up the rookie deal, but doesn't start. Like, Jared Goff, if you're down 17 points in the first quarter, at least he has the capability to potentially bring you back, unlike other guys. But yeah, I mean, he's
Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, true. Brad Johnson, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. The Gruden Brad Johnson.
Those are all champions, man.
Mark Rippon, right, Bo?
Yeah. That guy lives down the street, I think, here in Spokane.
Mark Rippon was 91.
He's a hero around here. And where I grew up, he's a bigger hero.
Soft spot for you guys. What's going on with Hop? 55, 52, 51. Yeah. He was on pace for like 1,900 yards and 190 catches.
I don't know. I think it's a combination of the head coach, play caller, Cliff Kingsbury, not really knowing how to like utilize this toy that he has. And then there's Kyler Murray, who's just a little, he's either snake bitten or he's afraid to throw to number 10. He's like, DeAndre Hopkins is so damn good. Like, he'd probably win every 50-50 ball if you gave him an opportunity. But I just think, you know, Kyler Murray Kyler Murray hasn't played that much. He played his final year at Oklahoma. He won the Heisman Trophy. And then he played his rookie year. But outside of that, he hasn't played for an extended period of time. So him to take those risks, especially going up a team last week with Jalen Ramsey is the guy who's primarily covering DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's just a little like gun shy of challenging opposing cornerbacks. And, you know, Kingsbury told him at halftime, like, hey, don't be afraid of Jalen Ramsey. And I think that's mainly because you've got a guy like Hopkins. But, you know, it's just a mix of those two just being in this massive slump. And, you know, they have to get themselves out of it. And Hopkins is one of the guys that is really seeing the effects of that one. And he was a monster to start things out. I mean, we're trying to pinch ourselves, make sure there's no take backsies from the Texans on that one, man. I mean, he's every bit legit as you think he was, man. I mean, Alex called, like, when the DeAndre Hopkins deal went down, like, I haven't talked to anybody on a telephone in like years, and Alex was calling me. I'm like, what's this fool calling me for? That's how big the deal was. And we were like screaming on the phone like a bunch of schoolgirls. He's legit. They have to do a better job of targeting. I mean, his target share in Houston was absurd. It was close to, you know, 27 to 30%. What is it now, Alex? Like 22%? It's like down.
Five games, it's less than that.
Yeah. I mean, they just need to uptick that up and just see what happens. I think the results will probably be where you think they're going to be positive.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's totally right. I mean, the phone call, when we saw the tweet from Schefter that said David Johnson to the Texans and they're taking on his whole salary, cool. I don't care.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was from like a burner account. I'm like, that could be real.
Then
triple checking the account.
Yeah, is that check mark real? And they're like, oh, they're a second round pick. They're getting a fourth round back. Fine. It's a Brock Osweiler thing. Awesome. I'm driving home and I hear DeAndre Hopkins. I'm like, get the like I mean, I popped the vocal cord. We've talked about this, like, but it's now like it's real life now. And DeAndre Hopkins isn't happy. And the issue with him is he is so exemplary at close contact receptions. He's so handsy. He gets more offensive pass interference calls than any receiver in football. He gets away with more offensive pass interference than anybody, any receiver in football. But Kyler Murray just won't throw him the rock. Just throw him the ball. Like, he should get 15 targets. He should get the Michael Thomas treatment in Arizona. And if Kyler Murray throws three interceptions a game and it's towards the corner, towards DeAndre Hopkins, who cares?
Yeah, we'll live with it.
Live with it.
How does the Hail Murray happen? How does DeAndre Hopkins go up with three defenders around him?
Screaming
down with the football. How does that happen? And then afterward, there's any.
And
doubt.
Then over the last three games, he's combined for 150 yards.
Yeah, like,
that makes no sense, right?
And it wasn't a Hail Mary, you know, like the one against Green Bay that Seattle, because the Golden Tate dropped on the ground and caught. It wasn't like this was a real catch.
Yes,
real rest stuff.
Alex, that's two. That's two. Once we get to three, I've got two. One, two.
Yeah, we'll right through.
Hey, before we get off the NFC West, let's talk about the Niners playoff implications and who actually makes the playoffs, and then we'll wrap and get in some other guff. But Niners, Kittle's not around.
No,
Mullins just throws to the other team. I think K1 said that.
Yeah.
Mozart's back in a little way, but I mean, if you're that organization, you're Shanahan. They're sniffing the playoffs. Do they make it? Any hope?
I think there's hope, but it's a uphill battle. They got to play the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and beat Washington this week. I don't even know who the fourth team is, but they have to win all, and they have to get some help from everyone.
Yeah.
I think – I don't think – they play an NFC East team. I think it's the – I think they play the Jets, don't they? Oh, no, they don't play the Jets. They play somebody – damn it.
Eagles, Giants, Jets, Washington. Yeah,
they went to the they opened up.
They play Washington this week, and then they they've got Dallas.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Arizona, Seattle.
Yeah, they play the Cowboys in week 15. Like I trust Kyle Shanahan. Bo and I got into an argument about the show. Was it Friday? Like, I think that if the Cardinals have to beat the 49ers in week 16 to keep themselves in the playoffs, I think that I can see that as a loss, especially if they're sniffing the playoffs. George Kittle's going to come back.
Yeah.
Did you see the Buffalo broadcast on Monday night where they were talking about that they could get Kittle back, they could get Jimmy G back for a stretch at the end of the season? I mean, that's scary.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you're the Niners, do you even let Jimmy G come back?
Well, here's the thing. So we've talked about this as far as like, do you – what is – I'd like to get your guys' opinion on this because I've asked K-Win too. Is Jimmy G your quarterback of the future? And then if you don't make the playoffs or you lose maybe the next consecutive games, do you mail it in and try to work up towards a quarterback like Trey Lance or someone who's the BYU quarterback? Someone like
– Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson in the middle of the pack, right? So you're kind of like trying to make this balance of do we think about the future or do we make a run?
I mean, do they have 6 wins? Are they 6-6? They're 5-6?
6-7.
They're 6-7. So they're right now the 16th pick or 15th pick. I think the Cardinals were 15. First of all, I think all four of those quarterbacks are going to the top 8.
Whoa.
Because
Mel Kiper. Jesus, dude, your hair is nothing close.
I'm a monster lawyer. Isn't Mel Kiper a monster? He's a glorified weatherman. No, so you have.
Excuse me. Wait, real quick. They're 5-7. Sorry, that's my fault.
Yeah, 5-7. So they're like 11th right now or something. If you look at Tankathon, there's something like that. So if they win 6 games, they'll be 12th or so. It's gonna. I mean, the top two quarterbacks, right? And then you know, there's if somebody want like the Cowboys could take Zach Wilson at 4. Like quarterback wise, first of all, I think Jimmy.
The Cowboys.
Yeah.
Red Rockets better than Zach Wilson. Come on.
Well, I just don't think that – I don't think they're moving off Dak. I think that's already decided.
Or they could trade back. Like, there's going to be some movement up top. There's going to be a lot of quarterbacks taken up front. Like, Jimmy G is the best quarterback in the quarterback room right now, correct? You see, people talk a lot of crap about him, but he's the
most capable. No, C.J. Beathard.
What about TJ? What was it? TJ O'Connell? What was the dude from back when?
Some guy that doesn't even have a profile on ESPN.
Exactly. I think Jimmy G, you just ride with Jimmy G at this point. If he's healthy, you got to play with it. Right, Bo?
I mean, he's shown so far. I think he's, in a weird way, earned his spot for next season. They had, what, one game this season where they were a full unit, and it was Miami, and that was just a disaster. I think you have to run it back just to see what's I you can't make the determination. Even though the Super Bowl happened, he missed Emmanuel Sanders. We all know that. And then he came out and he was
– Hey, Caitlin, do you remember that?
He played horribly. He didn't play great, but he also, I guess, wouldn't say he's a guy that you can just say, hey, he's not the guy. Because he was part of the Super Bowl team. I think that, look, it's not, you know, he's not the next Joe Montana Steve Young, but he's a serviceable quarterback. When you have a good, strong supporting, when I have a good pick, they're going to get a better non-quarterback position player. And if Alex is right that 97 quarterbacks are going in the first round, they're going to have the pick of the litter as far as non-QBs. And it's just going to get like a strong, they're going to be a stronger roster. Hopefully, maybe get a wide receiver that can like run a decent route, you know, outside, you know, after the line of scrimmage, not these like glorified running backs. The Yak kids, what are they? Who's Debo and
Ayuk?
The Yak brothers. They don't run any actual routes past the six. But I think if they can get somebody that does that, Jimmy G be all right, and George Kittle if he can stay healthy, which is a big if.
So they got the Redskins and Cowboys. If they win out those two games, you're right. Come back to full strength and maybe make a run.
Or, you know, they just, you know, get some moral victories. And I don't think anybody was counting them out once everybody came back. I don't think the quarterback's the question mark. I mean, obviously there's health question marks around that entire roster, but I don't think you can't predict that. If I'm the Niners, I'm comfortable with where I am. I'm still not. I'm an anti Shanahan guy, but
is that decent thing?
Are you pro Tom Lynch though?
He doesn't like the easies. I think. I don't think he likes the easies.
You know why I don't like Shanahan? Honestly, this is probably where it started.
Because he doesn't have as good as hair as you.
That's right. Well, is Shanahan was on the coaching staff for the RG3 Washington football team. Mm-hmm. And the way that the Shanahan handled that situation, he should send them like a flaming bag of dog crap every day of their lives until they die.
What should he give the Falcons for blowing that Super Bowl?
Oh, I know. It still got Shanahan hired, though, as a head coach, and a belief in a fan base that says he can't do any wrong, even though he has one winning season.
Yeah.
Hey, round the horn real quick. Yeah. NFC West, who makes the playoffs?
Niners, and that's it.
Man, something just went horribly wrong down the stretch.
All right, let me ask the question again.
Yeah.
NFC West, who makes the playoffs?
Go ahead, Bo.
I think it's three deep. I think that the Cardinals do find a way. I do. I don't know if I'm drinking Kool-Aid, but looking at their remaining schedule, the fact that they're going up against the Giants, they're going up against the Eagles, and, you know, the Niners could get healthy enough for that game in week 16, but I think that they'll probably take that game as well, and that should be enough. I mean, that would put them at 9 wins.
So you're gonna have the NFC West just like sandwiched at like 3, 4, 6, something along those lines,
and it could mean an ass kicking at the hands of the Rams in round one.
I think it'd be 2-5-7 because I don't think that, I mean, it's, I think the Rams are gonna win out. Like, I don't, they're a locomotive right now. It's tough. Like, if I were to have to wager a large amount of money, which I wouldn't want to do, but I would say 2. Like, I don't know if the Cardinals are going to get there. I mean, I know Seattle and the Rams will get there for sure, but for the sake of argument, I'll say 3. The Cardinals will sneak in because Tampa Bay and Minnesota play each other this week. It'll be a little friendly fire for the Cardinals. I'll say 3. 2-5-7. And okay. Seattle will go to Washington or New York.
That'll be fun.
Totally.
Wake up early for that one.
What about you?
Yeah.
We talked about the slide. It's so, I think we've seen two sides of the Cardinals. If I can comment on my own, it's Kyler hasn't been free like to do his own thing. We talked about like let Russ cook. early on in the season for the Hawks. Like, you look at it, it's almost like he's second guessing himself out there a little bit, where, like, you know, it's almost like, rather than, it's always been, you know, the RPO, it's always been the run pass option, but it's always the run to Drake, it seems like, as of late for Kyler. So he's not as, and when Dan Arnold is your top guy, that's tough. Yeah,
it is.
So if I see the Kyler Murray of the first half, yeah, I could see him sneaking in. If they still put, you know, the injuries, the idea of, okay, we got to look towards the future, we can't get Kyler hurt in a big way. I don't know. It's probably about Kingsbury. I'll say this. I got two teams right now, and that's the Rams and the Hawks. And the Hawks, we got an auto win this week against the Jets. Oh,
wow, jinx.
Auto win. But the Rams, I've said this, they look like the Ravens of 2012. Like, it's just a good, well-coached McVay. Finally has some, you know, he's finally has some chin hairs growing in. It feels like he's actually getting, you know, maturing a little bit in his coaching age. So
2002 gelled pointer.
Yeah, exactly. Someone get him like a get him some decent like hair product. But
got a great coach, bro.
He's an all right dude. I'll go two now.
Like, he smells like Axe body spray.
Oh, for sure. The winter fresh one. Kaylin, what about you, dude?
Today I got two going. Sunday, if the Cardinals win, I got 2.5. And if the Cardinals win and beat the Eagles as well, I got 3. But I'm riding the fence here. I think it's 2, but I've got to see Hopkins get the ball. I got to see Kyler getting back to be Kyler before I can say 3 teams. I want to see 3, but as of today, I'm seeing 2.
For sure. What are we looking at? We're looking at Cardinals, Vikings, Bears, Niners.
Tampa Bay. Bo?
I think, you know, Tampa Bay's, they're going to be in.
I mean, yeah, but, right. But it's, they're 7-5. Like, if Minnesota, so if Minnesota beats Tampa Bay on Sunday, that's hard to get in for the Cardinals. But I mean, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson.
It's been there the whole time. I mean, except
you like
for the
that. Recent... You like that. Let's go.
Yeah. You're going to ride Captain Kirk.
Creed. Kirk Cousins loves Creed.
All right, let's end on this.
Is that a good thing?
No.
Depends on who you ask.
I remember, like, if or something.
Pac-12 stone around jurisdiction, both of us. The Sun Devils, who have played 3 games this year, just trounce the Cats. What's that rivalry called, by the way?
It's the
Duel in the Desert.
Yeah, it's the Territorial Cup trophy, and it's the Duel in the Desert.
So Kaywin and I do a segment with a 4-year-old from Missoula who comes on and makes picks. This is how dumb the Pac-12 is this year. We bring a 4-year-old on to make Pac-12 picks just to entertain people. That's how dumb. His name's Rick. Kid eats cheeseburgers all day. So my question to you guys.
He eats cheeseburgers and just picks winners.
Exactly. Yes. That's how we incentivize him. Like, if for every pick you get right, we'll send you some cheeseburgers.
Yeah, it's like what Ricky Bobby did probably in 5.
They need him to run the Pac-12. Fire Larry Scott.
Amy and cheeseburgers. That's $5 million a year is a lot of cheeseburgers.
So my question, twofold. Do we see any Pac-12 teams even – close to the college football playoff discussion and who actually wins the Pac-12?
No. Washington was like their one chance, and Washington looked horrible last weekend. They were getting their doors blown off for a while. Number one, they can't get out of their own way as a conference. And then, you know, as far as the teams and where they stack up against the rest of the country, it's not, they're so far off. It's so embarrassing. And then, you know, you got Arizona State just blowing out Arizona, which is nice to see, but that's the only team they can seemingly beat. They lost to UCLA a couple weeks ago. And I mean, what's Chip Kelly even doing there? UCLA's not good. I don't know. I used to love Pac-12 football. Now, you know, Pac-10 football. Now it's just almost unwatchable.
Yeah. I mean, when Colorado at 21's the bell of the ball, it's problematic. I mean, Oregon and Washington was supposed to be the big game that got canceled. Wow. Oh yeah, Washington. Oh yeah, I mean Softy Mueller on Twitter was a play.
Was he okay? Was he consolable after that?
He was like, well, hold on, let me play this out. Like, if Washington wins, we should be the outright winner of the North. It's like, yeah. Come on, who cares?
Oh yeah, no,
no one cares about Pac-12 football.
Yeah, so it's. I beg the question. I've had conversations with this about this with people. What if they didn't play this? Like, would it have been better if they didn't play this year? Obviously, the answer is no. But
no one can watch any of their games because no one has a Pac-12 network.
Yeah, and the biggest thing for Arizona this year in college sports is that the U of A ASU game was on ESPN at 5 o'clock on a Friday. Like, that's the crown jewel of the Pac-12.
And right now, I just looked. It's 63-7.
No.
It's a lot of points. Not a lot.
Jaden Daniels for Heisman.
I'm assuming three of those were defensive touchdowns. I mean, University of Arizona, I don't know how University of Arizona athletics are in such bad shape that they can't afford to buy out Kevin Sumlin for the $5 million that it would cost. So that's why he's still the coach.
His visor's nice, though.
Is it true? Do the Cougs just have one more game? They just play Cal and that's it?
Probably.
I'm looking at
the coach. I know he's not still the coach.
Rolovitz. No, he's not the coach. We got Rolo. He's like the better looking Hawaiian type, can actually articulate himself and not talk about Pirates during a post game interview. Type of leash.
Probably not.
Runs a very similar system, but he's probably a little more articulate, even for WSU standards. Yeah, a little less entertaining. Yeah. I think he's still.
Ben and I talked about the chance for Pac-12 was Oregon to go undefeated, USC to go undefeated. They're like top 10, top 15 teams. Then Oregon wins, and Oregon gets the BCS. But Oregon lost to Oregon State and Cal.
So the answer is no, 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 and no.
Four-year-olds and cheeseburgers. That's all I got.
Have you been to Jack and Dan's?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually was there 3 weeks ago. I had a buddy that graduated from graduate program, and we went and met at Jack and Dan's. It's probably weird. For me, it was like my second experience there. It's just completely empty. There's just nobody there's nobody there because of the COVID-19 restrictions, but – so I haven't gotten like the full experience.
Did anyone mistake you for Killian Tilly?
Nobody did. No. No, is there a resemblance? I've had a couple of Gonzaga.
Do you want me to share my screen and bring them up? Because
yeah, let's do it.
No. How is Zag Nation? Let's talk about something positive because they're number one in the country.
I mean,
and they refuse to go out and play Lamar, Townsend, and Idaho State so they could stay undefeated, which I don't blame them. What is Zag Nation like right now? Number one team in the country.
So I just started doing a podcast with Matt Santangelo, who was part of the Elite Eight team. And, you know, I was asking.
Beat him like Santa Clara Broncos.
I know, man. I mean, the confidence is high. I mean, their marketing department, it's like they don't have anything to do each and every year because this team just retools and is ready to make another run. But with Jalen Suggs coming, their first like legit one and done guy, he's amazing. And then is he in the NBA? He's in Europe right now, isn't he?
No, he's on the Grizz.
Oh, is
he's
really?
Crazy, damn it.
No, he's doing Locked On Cards Pod with Clancy.
Come on.
I don't even think about. Oh my goodness gracious!
But that's not bad.
You look bad, Bo.
He went a little high on the product. He went a little bigger there.
On the cool looks.
That's the European in him. He likes the product. I'd say that you got Iowa potentially still on the schedule on December 19th. That's Luka Garza. That's going to be awesome. Garza, man. I hope they reschedule that Baylor game. I mean, because we talk about a strength for the strength. I mean, Gonzaga's their offense versus Baylor's defense. That would have been fun to watch.
Suggs should be in the NBA right now. The guy looks like he's 20, 22, 23.
The only hit I have on him is he Paul Pierced it the other night against West Virginia. He looked like he tore his Achilles and he was shot from a sniper in the stand. Yeah. And he had to be taken off in a wheelchair. And then the next thing you know, he's back out on the court just dishing dimes like it's his job.
Yeah. Paul Pierce had to go number two, right? That was the reason.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. One almost crapped his pants or did crap his pants. And the other thought his leg had blown up.
Hey, so potentially seeing March Madness and the Zags in a final and take it home to Spokane, huh?
I love that.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Ironic enough, I was there when they were in the championship game against Carolina, and they had their best team to date. And I mean, Carolina was loaded that year too. So, I mean, they're just, it's Mark Few has this team just set up for success, like way beyond this season. Even if Suggs is one and done, they just keep on bringing in guys and just restocking the cabinet. It's incredible. And coming from Pac-12 country in Tempe, where you can't see ASU, it seems like everybody's saying, hey, it's Bobby Hurley's best team, Bobby Hurley's best team. You see Remy Martin score 16 on 17 shots, and that's their only offense. It's hard to believe that they can build that in Spokane, and they can't do that in a place as beautiful as Tempe, Arizona, for ASU.
Well, I mean, yeah. And like a pro team. I mean, if you're watching them, I can't remember who I watched them play against. It was some. It didn't matter. I mean, they look like who's the kid? Who's their stud this year? Not Suggs, the freshman. Who's the ball handler? The Doug McDermott part two.
Kispert.
Yeah, who's going to be great? I'm sure he's going to be a 15 year vet in the NBA, but never make an All Star team. Like he's a stud. He's
Joe Harris.
They're adults. You know, you can tell it's like BYU football. The offensive linemen are all 30. Like they're all they're fun to watch. Like I don't, as Bo mentioned, Bo was lamenting a little bit that we have sunlight here and he doesn't right now. And he's like, Mark Few is the best recruiter on the planet. Mm-hmm. Like getting somebody to go to Spokane instead of, obviously he mentioned Tempe, but like UCLA, USC. I mean, the people that can go to Gonzaga for scholarships can probably go anywhere. Yeah. They got the grades. They have the stuff between the ears, and the fact that you can bring them to, you know, Redwood Tree in Washington is miraculous.
You're more likely to see a Trump rally than you are to see a girl in a bikini in Spokane. All right, WST Podcast with Locked On Sports. It's been a happy hour. Thanks, fellas, for joining us. Let's get back into it after come playoff time. Hopefully we have all three NFC West teams in. Who knows? We might be down in Glendale for the Hawks, vice versa. You might be up in Lumen Field, but
who knows? Nick Mullins might lead my Niners to the playoffs.
Bo, Alex, cheers, fellas. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Alex, go buy a comb, dude.
Instagram and Twitter at WSD_podcast. Make sure you check out Alex Clancy and Bo, who? Bo Brack. On AZ Locked On Cards.
Locked On Sports, Locked On Cards.
Locked On Cards.
Locked On AZ Cards.
Locked out of the playoffs. Get that out.
Big Ben and K-Win, sponsored by 80 Acres. Let's go. Boom.
Boom.